Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Let's go, shall we? We'll run out of time before we even start. I want to preach this morning on a topic called Days Like These. Everyone say Days Like These. You know, like I've had a sense for a few years now, ever since we heard Shane Willard. Well, even before that, actually, a few years ago, might have been 2022, I reckon it was. We have Shane every year, and I reckon it was 2022 he came. And we had an extended worship time after that, but things had been moving, and it was there was a change. I had felt the winds of change, and I really was open to what was going on around the world and in universities, and things were starting to really heat up, and I never wanted to jump on a bandwagon or anything like that. So I quite often just would just have a look myself and just to see what was happening. And I noticed that I didn't ever want to force or choreograph a move of God in our church or in the church or anywhere for that matter. And it's not like you can do it, but you can have a counterfeit of those things, and I've never wanted to. I've just always wanted to see, well, you'd probably be thankful that I never wanted to, but I just wanted to see God move. But I wanted our hearts to be open ready for what he was about to do, but also be intentional about seeking God's face at the same time. So I've just had a sense now for a few years that I just think we live in great days. I know there's lots of pain and hurt around the world, but as Christians, as the church, I genuinely believe we live in great days. Am I the only person that senses that? I think it's great days for the gospel. I think it's only gaining a momentum that people are receptive of hearing the gospel, the good news, the very thing that we should be sharing all the time, yeah? The very thing that we're commanded to do is to share our faith, to go and make disciples, baptizing them, you know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that's our command. That's what Jesus has asked us of us, to take his word and to share it everywhere. And I guess that old saying or that old quote that comes, and sometimes we'll get to use words. But I just love the thought that's at the very core of who we are, that we live in great days, and we have the freedom. We can meet here every single day of the week if we want. And it actually doesn't really matter what hour of the day or night we can meet. There are countries around the world that don't have this freedom that we have. We can put on anything, whether it's youth or men's or women's or a prayer meeting or worship or worship nights, church. We can do absolutely anything. We have the freedom to do this. We live in great days. We won't know what it's like until those days are taken, until those times are taken away, until those restrictions will come and be put into place, and until we're really persecuted. We don't really know what persecution is like. We live in great days. As a church, you, me, the church, we have and live in great days. And I want to speak from Acts 2 this morning. You'll know the scripture very well, because I just want to talk and I want to encourage you to about living in these great days. But I have some other things I'd like to share. Some of them, a lot of them are all positive, but I think with these great days come some other areas that I think we should watch out for, that we should be cautious of, that we should be able to take note of. And maybe they're just watch outs. Maybe they're just, hey, let's be careful about these areas. So anyway, let's read our foundational scripture for today. In the last days, everyone say last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Not just some, but all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We see that passage goes a lot longer than that, but I've just pulled those those parts out, you generally would know that passage of Scripture. We see the fulfillment of God's promise during Pentecost. The verse speaks not only to the early church, but it also speaks for us today. What happened on the day of Pentecost was incredible. The Holy Spirit fell. They were in the upper room and all the disciples stood. One of them stood out and preached this very message and spoke a lot more than that verse, but spoke to all the people that were in the court that day that could hear. There was a great move and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. That was the very birth of the church. What an incredible day. That was a promise fulfilled that day, but the promise is still being fulfilled today. I believe, I'm not going to stand up here and say, yes, we're in the last days, because we are in the last days, but I know that God wants to pour out his Spirit. These great days that I feel that I'm living in, God is pouring out his Spirit. Globally, all across, that sounds a bit weird, globally, all across the world. All across the world, God is doing incredible things. And I know that there's a generation that it seems to be pointing to, but I believe it's what it says here, that God is pouring out his Spirit on all people. It doesn't matter who you are, God is pouring out his Spirit right now. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to reject it and I don't want to push it back. I want to be open and to live in these great days and to do everything we possibly can in these great days that we shall live in right now. So the first thing it talks about is the outpouring of his Spirit. God promises an extraordinary outpouring of his Spirit on all people. The reference there was from Joel 2, 28 to 29. Luke, who wrote Acts, was an evangelist and a physician. So this is right where he was at, seeing God move and pour out his Spirit on all men. That scripture says exactly the same as it does in Acts. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters. Who's a son and a daughter here this morning? Will prophesy. Your old men. Who's an old man? Where is he? Oh, there he is. Didn't use your name this time, Les. Your old men. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men. Who's a young man here this morning? Very good. Yes, you can put two hands up, young men. That's old guys. We'll see visions. In this prophetic declaration made by Joel and reaffirmed in Acts, we witness a radical shift where the Spirit's presence is not limited to a select few, but is poured out on all. The promise, it dismantles barriers of age, gender, status, emphasizing that everyone can be a vessel for God's work. Who believes that here this morning? Who believes that you can be a vessel used by God? Two people. Come on, church. I'm going to go out the back here because I reckon out the back here they had all their hands up. So out the back, who believes they can be used as God's vessel? Look at that. 1,400 hands. My gosh. Wow. We won't. So out here, who believes? Yeah. Okay. Come on now. That's it. That's good. The outpouring of the Spirit enables us to experience a deeper relationship with God, to go deeper. And his presence empowers us in our daily lives. It invites us. It always is so good because it always invites us to be participants in faith, where every believer, young or old, male or female, can serve effectively in the kingdom. Not just that we're running out of steam if you're elderly. That quite often I'm finding the elderly have more fire in their bellies, that their hearts are on fire for the things of God. Us young ones, forgotten what I was going to say. Imagine a community. Just imagine this for the moment, where everyone is filled with the Spirit of God, passionately pursuing God's purposes. We are called to be open to the Spirit's leading, awakening the prophetic voices among us and challenging us to listen and respond to God's call. That's an outpouring of God's Spirit, the outpouring of His Spirit right across the world. Let us be a part of it. Let's be open to it. Let us see it. Let us embrace it. Let our hearts be ready. Let our hearts be soft to receive that outpouring this morning. Second, the sons and daughters prophesying. We all yelled out before, we're sons and daughters, yeah? So that means everyone. It doesn't mean the young sons and daughters. It means all of us, the sons and daughters. The promise of prophecy signifies God's desire to communicate through His people. That's us. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." Prophesy, encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. It doesn't mean that we have to stand up here and say, "Thus saith the Lord, you will do this, this, and this." We've got to get rid of some of this understanding of what a prophet does and what prophesying does. Prophesy from His word. Get His word, the promises of God. Shout them out loud. Speak them into your lives. Speak them into other people's lives. How on earth can you know what the word says if we don't consume it? How do we know what the promises of God are unless we start to consume His word? And when you start to consume His word, you see the promises and you can't but help look at people and say, "Man, I just want to encourage you this morning. You are God's called, chosen person for a time such as this. So I just want to encourage you and lift up your hands this morning." What better thing to receive this morning than, "Oh, you look a bit tired. See the difference." Go and say that to two different people and see the response you get. Just don't say it to me. When God's Spirit is poured out, it brings forth a voice for the work God is doing. Prophecy is not solely about foretelling the future. It's about speaking God's truth into each other's lives. Sons and daughters prophesying shows the active engagement of all generations in God's narrative, in God's story. All generations. I don't care. I don't care how old people are. They know the word and it's in their hearts, they can speak a word of prophecy into someone's life. They can speak a word of encouragement. They can strengthen someone. Let's take away the generational boundaries that we can sometimes put in. In our churches, we often seek wisdom and direction, yet God has empowered each of us to speak truth, encouragement, and hope. That's what He's empowered us to do. If you have the Spirit of God in you, within you, you are empowered to do these things. You, yes, I'm actually talking to you this morning. Not the people, not Janet, because Janet's bold and she's courageous and I thank her for it and I love her that she actually comes prepared. She's prepared her heart. She's open to the voice of God to speak the promises of God. We need 100,000 more Janets. Let's just keep having services where we're speaking the promises of God. Yeah? Okay. It's a call to recognize the prophetic gifts within our churches and to foster an environment where everyone feels enabled to share what God has laid on their hearts. And as we prophesy to one another, we cultivate a culture of affirmation, healing, and revelation, where believers are strengthened and the church collectively reflects Christ's love. And you know when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about to go weird and crazy on us. You know that. You know I'm saying, let's do this, knowing that God's actually been speaking to you, knowing that these are, we serve a God of order. Our God is a God of order. So I won't let things go crazy. I will let things get lost in the Spirit and I will welcome words of encouragement and blessing and encouraging to people every day of the week. But we've got to know that they're from God, yeah? We've got to know that they're God's word being spoken. I've been looking at the tribes of Israel of recent times and out of Deuteronomy 33, Moses is giving his his last words to each tribe. And it's fascinating. He's been speaking, prophesying into these tribes. And he's been speaking life into them and what they're about. And I find it fascinating. But one captured my heart, and it was the tribe of Asher. He said this, he had a dual promise, and a part of it, what he said to them was, your bolts and gates will be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. And I was greatly encouraged. I was excited about that, of what it could mean, and I got stuck on that, just that one verse, and I chewed it over and over, and I thought, wow, what an incredible thing to be encouraged with as a whole tribe. And then I started looking into the tribe of Asher, and they were on fertile soil, and they had good crops, and they were very fruitful. They were actually fruitful in planting olive trees. And then their symbol, their flag, whatever it is, their picture is of a big olive tree. And I love the thought of that. And I'm thinking, man, the olive oil, the anointing. And then I was thinking, man, what a blessed tribe. I'd like to live in the tribe of Asher and having Moses speak those words over me. And you know what? I thought to myself, I may not live in the actual tribe of Asher, but this is the word of God. And I want to speak this to us this morning. Is that okay? I want to speak to you this verse this morning. I want to prophesy that into your hearts this morning, into our lives, into this building this morning, out the back, into your hearts and lives out there. See, the first part refers to security and protection for the gates of a city, while the second part promises the individuals will receive strength in proportion to the challenges they face throughout their lives or out their day. So the first one, security, your bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze. It suggests a promise of strong and secure protection for the people. And I love that. I want strength and protection for you. Another part of this, another version talks about that they weren't the bolts of the gates, but they were fitted on their shoes. And I started going crazy on that, thinking everywhere that our feet shall tread shall be strong and secure. So I want to prophesy into that as us as a church this morning as well. But the second one is for some people here this morning. Strength. As your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. It's a promise that God will provide the necessary strength for each stage of life or each day of your life as it is needed. If you can grab hold of that for your life this morning, if you're feeling weak this morning, if you're feeling overpowered this morning, use this and allow that word of God from his word to be spoken into your very hearts this morning. If you're feeling like you may not be able to stand or you may not be able to fulfill your day. Actually, I had a day like that last week. And my day was crazy. I had too much to put into one day. And I knew that. And I didn't. I woke up thinking, I don't want this day to start. But it already had, so I was in a bit of strife. And the longer I waited, the worse the day became. So I thought I better get up to it and start this day and see where it ended up. And I'd actually been sitting in this, and I thought, you know what? I don't know what to do, but I'm going to pray, God, I need your strength. I need your strength to be able to deal with this day. I need to be able to draw on your supernatural, extraordinary strength for this day. I don't want to crumble. I don't want to fall in a heap. And I didn't. I did a wedding on Friday, and the bride was 25 minutes early. And I was 22 minutes late. I met the bride in the car park. I said, what are you doing here? She goes, why aren't you here? I said, well, we're both here. Let you stay here and I'll go up there. So it was one of those, it nearly come unstuck. But we got there and it was a great time. And the day, by the end of the day, I thought to myself, man, I'm exhausted, but I had a great day. And it reminded me this morning that I was going to be speaking on we live in great days. We had great days. This was a non-Christian couple that I married, and there was tears of joy. There was warmth of love. Their hearts, I could tell when I spoke to them in the wedding that I was speaking the word of God, even though I didn't give them a scriptural reference. I gave them the word. I gave them God's promises. I gave them God's promises for their lives and their commitment. I challenged on their commitment of why they were doing what they were doing. And they're weeping and crying. And I just thought, wow, what an incredibly touching time for them. And I thought, man, I live in great days. So as much as I, you know, possibly wasn't really looking forward to it, if I was to be honest, because they take so long to prepare for and organize. But when I was in that moment, I just knew that this was a great day. And I knew that I could draw on strength that I might not have had because of the promise of God says, as your days, so shall your strength be. So if you're needing strength today, I'm praying that God will strengthen your life right now, that you will have a strength in your backbone, that your stature will be tall, that you won't be bent over, that you won't be crippled or crumbled over by the weight of this day. That you will be strong and upright, knowing that God is with you, knowing that this is a promise of God that you can sow into your very life because you live in a great day today. Third is vision and dreams. God's Spirit inspires visions and dreams that shape our future and mission. I'm a firm believer, I've always said it, that we can motivate one another, but only God inspires us because it's all on the way on the inside. God does something in our heart with his word, with dreams and visions that he plants seeds in your heart that no man can put in there and actually no man can take away. Look, there are circumstances that I know of right now that perhaps man or circumstances are taking away the dreams and the visions placed in someone's heart. Well, I can genuinely stand before you and say whatever God plants in you, no man can touch. No man can take away. They are dreams and visions that God plants. They inspire you. They are written on the tablets of your heart. No man has the right to try. No church has the right to try and take away because that's God's domain. That's God's real estate. The only person that bought your heart was Jesus Christ. No one else, not one other person, because your heart is priceless. And that's why he writes on your heart. Because what goes into our head, who knows, you can forget it in 2 minutes, especially when you get older. Man, it comes in one ear and out the other. Actually, that's not true just to old people as well, man. I don't say young people. You just speak something and they go, hmm. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen. God gives us visions and dreams. Visions and dreams represent the creativity and the expansive vision of God for us, his people. With the Spirit's influence, we are invited again to imagine a kingdom reality that goes well beyond or transcends our own limitations. I tell you, God plants his seeds and he only reveals things a little bit at a time because I tell you what, if God revealed everything to you right now, you would run for the hills. That I know. So just accept what God gives you right now, this day. Giving you the strength to have this day, to be able to deal with this day, giving you eyes to see this day and maybe the next, and put dreams in you as well that you can remember and that you get excited about. Urging us to pursue greater purposes in our lives, in our communities, in our churches, and far beyond that. It isn't just an individual experience. Collectively, we are called to dream the dreams of God together. I want to dream the dreams with you. I want to dream dreams and see visions with you guys. You know that we've welcomed Elizabeth with us now, and I sit with she won't mind me saying her name. She told me 88-year-old Greta, and she runs the thrift shop down there half an afternoon a week. And I sit with her on a Wednesday morning, and they call it the Breakfast of Champions. So it's either Swiss roll or a Lamington, and cup of tea or a coffee, Pablo coffee. It's wonderful. We're going to change that for them eventually. It's woeful. I'm sorry. I hope there's no one from Elizabeth here. It is horrendous. My Lord. So I just have my water bottle now. And I have trouble sharing plates and knives. I don't even have any of their Swiss roll or their Lamingtons because, you know, it's just something I've got to get past. It's not going to happen real soon. But they're just wonderful people. And you sit around the table, and I have nothing to tell them because they tell me. They say, oh, what are we doing here? We could do this and we could do that. And I thought, they're just filled with visions and dreams. It doesn't matter their age. They're the smart ones. They have the visions and dreams. They write it down and walk out and say, okay, I'll leave that with you then. So then you think, okay, thank you very much. I don't need your dream and vision down there. They've got it all. I've just got to do the work. I just love that's what's in their hearts. It just boils over. We're dreaming together down there. I want to continue to dream here as we dream with Copper Coast. See, Night of Hope is a dream that we dream together with Copper Coast. Now, is there any, what do you call it? Is there any, what am I trying to say, Rachel? Adversity against that? Of course there is. Of course there is. There's challenges that we have to face. But you know what? I come back to this. As your days, so shall your strength be. We need strength to go through these adversities so that dreams stay alive, but more importantly, they don't just become potential, but they actually become a reality. So the easiest thing to do is not to do it up there, but the dream is that we do it up there and we reach their community up there and we be a part of that and they jump on board and they can see. See, I tell you, if I tell you this, if I said we're going to put a Holy Spirit conference on, there'd be more people involved. But when I say we're going to put a carols on, they're saying, oh, we're just singing Christmas carols. No, not at all. No, I sound like the guy from Vicar of Dibley then. No. I don't watch that. Chris told me about it. No. See, now I've forgotten what I'm saying. See, that's what happens. You don't remember these things. Yes, that's right. There'd be more people involved because that's more of a godly nature than singing Christmas carols. I tell you what, we get to preach Jesus to a whole community that want to come out. We preached Jesus last year in Gawler to hundreds of unchurched, unsaved people. What better is that? We don't have Father Christmas swinging from chandeliers or whatever he does or from his sleigh bells. We just worship Jesus. We presented Jesus in the best way that we could. And we're going to get better and better at that. This year's about bells. You might think, so what? Well, there's a whole meaning about bells. Thanks to Jack Lamont, put me onto this little gem. Like, that is incredible how the world wanted to get rid of a church bell. And what a church bell represented. Last year we spoke about that they cancelled Christmas. Well, they tried to get rid of church bells. There was a 150,000, they said, church bells in Europe, stolen. They were either to be broken down to make, you know, guns and things, or they were used as an air raid sign rather than a sign of hope. They turned something which was a sign of hope into something of war and destruction. Bring back the church bell. Bring back the church, and it's a symbol of hope. So you don't need to come to the, no, you know my message. Yes, you do. So that's what I'm looking forward to that. So we'll push through whatever we have to push through, even though sometimes you want to walk away from it all. It isn't, yes, I said that. What would it look like if our congregations fearlessly pursued the vision he laid on our hearts? Who here has a dream and a vision that's been unfulfilled? Come on, put your hand up if that's you this morning. Yeah. Is that all of you? Is that genuinely all of you that you just don't want to put your hand up because you're going to get embarrassed? Like, who here has got a dream and a vision from God that just has not been fulfilled? Out the back, you got your hands up? Yep. Well, let's not give up on those things. Let us continue to hold on to the very things that God planted in our hearts. You know how ridiculous they sound. If you said them out loud, you'd be like Joseph, we would sell you. And you know what happened to him? But he fulfilled what God placed on his hearts. Oh, that's Joseph now. Maybe I said something wrong. Investing in our community, reaching the lost, and engaging in social justice can become our unified mission. In doing so, we bring glory to God and reflect his creativity in transforming lives all around us. See, I've had some dreams and visions of late. And I haven't shared them at the moment because I don't feel that I can, but the time is coming that I will be sharing them. And I've acted on some of those dreams and visions right now, and I can't tell you how excited I am because some of them are just working. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, God, you do give me dreams and visions. You know, it's funny how we say this stuff, and then when God does it and you act on it, and then it starts to work, you think, oh, wow, I did hear from God. That's great. Well, I just know that I know that I'm so excited that it will transform our church. It'll transform our churches. I just know that it will. I know that God woke me up. And I know it wasn't just me waking up this time because of what was in my heart. And acting on it, you act on it because you think it's so ridiculous sometimes. But you find sometimes in those ridiculous moments, that's what God wanted you to do, because the other side is waiting for someone to be ridiculous and say something crazy to them. And that's what's happened with this. So I can't wait to share that with you soon. I reckon it'll be in December that I'll be able to share it with you, and I'm really looking forward to that. Now, I want to finish on this. And it said, what comes with great days is great, but the great. But the great. What I mean by that, the great can be a great distraction. These are my red flags. These are my warnings. These are my things that I think we need to be cautious of, yeah? So that first part of the message was all the positive stuff. That is all great stuff. But these are the things that I think we ought to be careful of in the days we live. The great can be a great distraction. In Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2, I'm using the message, which I normally don't, but I want to with this. So if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. We must be careful not to see where Christ has been, but where he is. We will often run to where the crowd gathers, but where the crowd gathers is often only to see what's been. What do I mean by that? Let me put it in today's terms. I like Formula One. We all sit in our seats and the cars go round and round and are up and down and all over the place. But when there's a crash, as soon as the crash has happened, a crowd gathers around the crash, but the crash has already been. They're not crowding there waiting for the crash. The crowd has come and gone. The crash has come and gone. Jesus is at work. That scripture above is, look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. Where is Jesus? What is he doing? Let's be at that place. Don't be at a crowd where Christ has been. Because all you're there is to be in the crowd. What did God say to you when you first introduced himself to you? What did he say? Go follow the crowd? Or he says, come follow me. Let's make sure we're following Jesus, yeah? See, great days bring great excitement and great crowds and great things and great excitement. But let's make sure we're following the great King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the person that came to seek and save you, to give you your eternity, to put a dream and a vision in your heart, to put something in you that you can go and spread around this globe. And that is the good news. Let's follow that Jesus. Let's be where Jesus is working, not where he's been. Yeah? That's the great distraction. Pastor Danny Gugulamuchi came here on Monday night to our young adults and he gave them 3 points. He gave them lots more, but the 3 main points he gave them, and the first one was have a passionate conviction. I guess I'm linking that with the distractions. Have a passionate conviction. Have a conviction of what you're about, where you're about, and who you're about with. Be passionate about your conviction. Don't have passional preferences. See, if you don't live by a conviction, then you'll live by a preference. And that preference will change like a chameleon, because someone else's preference will be different and you'll follow that preference rather than the conviction that God has laid in your heart. See, when God puts dreams and visions in your heart, it comes with a conviction. Go and read the first few chapters of Nehemiah. Go and see the burden that God placed on him. He gave him a dream and a vision. He gave him a vision he could see. He inquired and it caused him to his knees. He wrote it on his heart. It drove him to his knees to fast and pray. And you can read that whole book. It's actually a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. The next one is the great can bring great disillusions. In Proverbs 13, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when dreams come true at last, there is life and there is joy. Who wants life and joy? Come on, that's what we want. Pastor Danny's second word was pure motives. And I want to link it with the disillusions here. In the great, we have our own expectations on how Jesus should be or what he should be doing, or we listen to others to tell us what he's doing. Let's not be disillusioned with what we want Jesus to do. If we want Jesus, look, God, there's revival in the earth, so you've got to do this, this, and this, and you've got to do it here because they're doing it there, so you do it here. And, you know, God, and if that doesn't happen here, then Jesus, I want this as well. Have a pure motives, hope deferred. Makes the heart sick, but dreams come true at last, and there is life and joy. Stand firm. Read your word. How many times in the midst of a battle, in the midst of things, does he say, just stand firm. It's okay. I've got this. Jesus will come. Jesus will fulfill. Jesus will bring life and joy. Just stick and stand firm. Be planted in that. Be secure in that. And the last one is the great days can cause great confusion. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace in all what happens. In great days are we, it says. Danny's last point was prepared to pay the price. Are you prepared to pay the price to live in such great days? I can't answer that question. That's individual. That's you as a disciple, a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. That's for you to ask, are you prepared to pay the price to live in great days? Because with great days comes great responsibility, but comes with great love and great joy and great fulfillment and great fulfilling of the promises and the dreams and visions on your hearts. And the guys can come back up now. So as we reflect on the promise found in Acts 2, I'm reminded, and I want us to be reminded, that we live in dynamic times, filled with opportunity and divine empowerment. The outpouring of the Spirit, the call to prophecy and the inspiration of visions and dreams equip us for a life of purpose in Christ. Let this be a rallying cry. Let this be a rallying cry for our churches to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit and to fulfill the extraordinary calling as witnesses of His grace and truth in these great days. I want us to pray for an awakening to God's promises, not in the person next to you, in your heart, in our churches. Let there be an awakening of God's promises that we may fully receive His Spirit and engage in the work that He has set before us. Let's not leave it to somebody else. Let's not miss it. Do you see, Jesus came and the Jews missed it, yeah? They didn't recognize, they wanted something more. There had to be more. We're a people that always want the more. We always want something else. What about the dream? What about the vision? What about the prophecy? What about the words in your heart? What about those things? Are we empty of those things now? Have we been hurt and have we allowed circumstance to take these things away? You may be sitting here this morning and thinking, well, no, I've still got all those things, but they're just not happening. Stand firm. Stand firm. I talked with a young person this week and we talked on trust. What are they trusting God for? And I had the most empowering and encouraging conversation with this person. And I thought, Lord, give us more of these, of a maturing in their faith to say, you know what? I can see that, but there's something else in my heart. And I need to be found within the conviction of my heart and not put myself where a preference could overtake that conviction. And I don't know, I can't make any promises for anybody. I can't make any promises for myself. I just have to know that there are promises in His Word and that He's going to give me the strength for what I need today. I'm going to try and be as obedient as I can. I don't want to move unless I hear the voice of God. I had meetings this week that I was scared spitless in, that I thought, man, I don't know what's going to be the end result of this meeting. I could be laughed out of this room. I could have just had a flat no and been embarrassed to say, oh, what about this? And yet what unfolded was a tapestry of God, that God had been working on something well beyond my dream or my thoughts at that time. See, my dreams and thoughts were somewhere else. But when I thought about what I had thought about and then spoke to this other person, I know that's a bit convoluted, it all made sense. See, I don't want to come with my agenda or my purposes. I want to fulfill His. I don't want to add to the words or the dreams. I just want all of God. I just want to keep my eyes fixed on Him and trust in Him and lean not on my own understanding, but in all things. Trust in Him. All things. All things. Trust in Him. Just like He's going to pour out His Spirit on all, not just the Jews. All, Jew and Gentile. All of us, male, female, in this country and another country. His Spirit is going to be poured out for every single generation. God, raise up the kids. Let the kids don platforms and speak your word. Raise up the youth. Let them find Jesus. Raise up the young adults so they can stand convicted in their convictions. Stand tall and stand firm. Us older generation, let us stand firm and know what our role is to do. It's to help steer, to still carry the load. Let's not put it all down and say, let someone else do it. Come on, let's run to the end. Let's run. We're not here for long enough. Let's keep running. God is going to do amazing things because we live in great days. Seriously, let us not look at things that take that away because we live in great days, and I thank God we live in these days because we've got a message in our hearts. We've got resources. Let's take the word to our worlds. Let's take the good news. Let them know that we're His disciples by the way that we love one another. Let's bring unity. Let's keep unity. Let's champion that cause. Let us bow our heads. God, we just take Your promises, Father. Lord, and we just ask that You sow them into Nina's life and into her family, Father God. Lord, right now, give her the strength to stand this day. Give her family the strength to live this day. And Lord, and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, Lord, give them strategies how to get through what they're needing to go through. Lord, we just encourage them and love on them right now. Lord, we know their family is purpose and call. So Father God, I just pray right now, bring peace. Bring peace to the household in Jesus' mighty name. Thank You, God. And Father, I thank You for today. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for our worship. I thank You for this beautiful church and as I mean the people, Father, all beautiful people. Lord, whether they're in this room or in the back room, Father God, everyone is so important. Lord, we see it no different. So Father, I just ask a blessing. Lord, let us be a church that can grab hold of this and understand that we live in great days, Father God. Lord, that we can speak and prophesy the promises of You from Your word and encourage one another. Lord, that we can dream dreams and visions again. The Lord, that we are at the very forefront, Father God. Be with us, Lord, as You pour out Your Spirit. Lord, let us not miss it. Let us not look somewhere else. Let us not be distracted. Let us not run to a different crowd, but Lord, let us embrace what You're doing. Lord, bless this house. Bless Kadena. Bless Elizabeth. Bless all the churches in this town and area in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Let's stand to our feet and go out singing. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.